Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Fell on my knees and cried, holy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for this day, for this opportunity. Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, we sense your presence this morning. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for gracing us with your presence today. Thank you, Lord. Bless this word as it goes forward this morning. I pray, Lord, that each one of us receive from the word of God what it is that we need. And Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. So teach us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. There's only two places where we see this expression in the Bible. Holy, holy, holy. And that is in Isaiah 6:3 and Revelation 4:8. So let's read them together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And Revelation 4:8. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. In both of these events, Isaiah had a vision of the Lord. And in Revelation, John said, I saw a door, and the Lord told me to come up through this door. But each one of them were in the throne room of God. And these angelic creatures are around the throne of God, and they are crying out day and night in worship to the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. Thank you, Lord. In the Hebrew, the word holy generally means set apart, to be sacred and ceremonially and morally pure. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And we're going to take a look at Isaiah and just pull some revelation from this story, from this event in Isaiah's life. And how can we worship the Lord? What does he require of us? So let's read this. Isaiah 6:1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So Isaiah is identifying to us a period of time. He said it was when King Uzziah had died. And King Uzziah's death actually is recorded as he died from leprosy. And Uzziah was the king over Judah at the same time that there was Jeroboam II was king over Israel. And his reign brought national prosperity. King Uzziah was probably the last great king that ruled over Judah. And actually, the glory of the nation of Israel looked really bleak at the time. The outlook of the nation of Judah was very bleak. And in the midst of all of this, God gave this vision to Isaiah, the throne room of God. The Lord is sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fills the temple. And the true king of all the world is still on the throne. And today, even though some things look very bleak for the United States of America, God is on the throne. It's a good reminder. God is on the throne. The New American Commentary says this. Each one of the symbols, the title Lord, the throne, the lofty position, and all the encompassing robe, reinforced his sovereignty over all the universe, over all its kings, over all their nations, and over all people, including the children of Israel. So all of these symbols point to the sovereignty of God. He is high and lifted up, and the train of his robe fills the temple. It fills everything. The focus is not on the sovereignty of God, The focus of Isaiah's chapter is to discuss or talk and teach about what he saw as the holiness of God. But we must remember, God is sovereign. We have hope because he's still on the throne. He is on the throne. Warren Wiersbe, in his book on true worship, said this: we must be aware of trying to get chummy with God. I know the Apostle Paul leaned on the bosom of Jesus in the upper room, but he fell at the feet of Jesus when he beheld him in his sovereign glory. Then he continues, there is that undue familiarity with God that only proves that the worshiper does not really know God at all. When we handle our relationship with God casually, it shows that we really don't know who he is. When we try to be chummy with God and bring him down to our level, we are dishonoring him. Gabe said it several times. We honor the Lord. We honor him. If we are going to honor him, he is high and lifted up. Yes, he loves us. Yes, he's our father. Yes, he's our friend, but he's not the kind of friend that you have in the natural realm. He's high and lifted up. He's holy. So how do you see the Lord? How do you see the Lord God Almighty? Is he a casual acquaintance for you? In your mind, in your heart, how do you see him? Isaiah 6:2, let's read it together. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. The Hebrew name means the burning ones. It also means fiery creatures. So above him stood the seraphim. That doesn't mean one seraphim. I tend to think that this word seraphim is a plural for seraphims. Because in the book of Revelation, when John saw the creatures that were around the throne of God, he identifies four of them, and he said they had their wings were spread out and they had eyes all over them. It's hard for us to even imagine what is going on in the throne room of God, but it is glorious. It is magnificent, and it is holy, and it is like nothing we have ever experienced here on this earth. And so here are these men trying to explain what they saw, because it was so glorious. And when it says that the seraphim stood above him, doesn't mean that he was higher than God, but it means that he was standing between the spectator and the Lord that's high and lifted up. Standing also doesn't mean that they're hovering before God, but they're flying. They have wings and they're flying. And in their humility before the Lord God Almighty, in that atmosphere of the very presence of the throne of God, they cover their face and they cover their feet, and then with their wings they fly. Amazing, the seraphim. And this is the only scripture where the seraphim are actually identified, but we can gain from this information that the seraphim and the holiness of God go together. In the presence of the Lord, he has fiery, magnificent creatures. Isaiah 6:3, let's read that. And one called to another and said, Isaiah 6:3, let's read that. Do we have the next slide? And one called to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Holiness, when implied to God's nature, indicates his absolute moral purity, in this case, above his creation of the whole earth. So here we see once again that these groups are these choirs, these seraphims. There was more than one. They were probably echoing back and forth, crying out, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord." Repeating a word in the Jewish tradition puts emphasis upon that word. And we have a quote from McKenna and Ogilvy, and they wrote a commentary, the preacher's commentary, and they said this: "No other attribute is so praised. Angels do not sing love, 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 or justice, justice, justice. No, they only sing holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Holy is the Lord Sabaoth. He's the Lord of heavenly armies. It is also written, the Lord God Almighty." And you see, his armies are not normally seen by our natural eye. The armies of the Lord, the angels of the Lord, are seen by the eyes of our heart, by the spirit that is within us. If God decides to reveal something to us, then we'll see it. But when the king of Syria, here's an example. When the king of Syria brought his troops to fight with Israel, Elisha's servant was afraid because he saw in the natural the massive military might that the Syrians brought. And so we're going to pick up the story in 2 Kings. And let's read this verse together. "When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' He said, 'Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." He is the Lord of hosts. He is Lord Sabaoth, the Lord of the heavenly armies. When we planted our church, one of our theme songs was Lord Sabaoth, Lord of hosts, mighty in battle. We're good friends with Robert Gay. He wrote several warfare songs back in the early 90s. He was a worship leader at Christian International, and he had the revelation that God is the Lord of hosts of the angel armies of heaven. It wasn't Tim Sheets that got the revelation. The revelation was birthed many, many years ago. And Becky will tell you, because she's been with our ministry long before we planted the church, that is a theme: understanding the sovereignty, the ruling power of the Lord God Almighty, and who he is, and what he does in the heavenlies, and what he will do for us. You see, we need to know that we do not need to be afraid. Amen. We don't have to be afraid. When the enemy surrounds us, God has a host of angels that are with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us, says the scripture. He's the Lord Sabaoth. Thank you, Lord. So it is God's holy and glorious presence in which our holiness begins. Isaiah 6, 4 through 6. We're going to continue through this chapter. Let's read this together. "And the posts of the doors were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, the closer we get to God, the more we realize we are unclean. The closer we are to the Lord Jesus Christ, the more we realize our own weaknesses, frailties. Because the closer you are to God's holiness, the more he begins to reveal to you. Someone who thinks they have it all together and are self-righteous and think they have every answer, and I've had a lot of people tell me, I know the Bible inside and outside. I've read it several times, and I'm thinking in my mind, yeah, but you don't act like it. Anyone can pick up a Bible and read it, right? That doesn't mean anything if you've read the Bible. The question would be, has the Bible read you? Jesus. The closer we get to God, the more we realize how unclean we really are. Let's read the next verse, Isaiah 6:7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. The good news is the Lord has a remedy for our sins. He knows we are a mess. He knows that we are undone. Yes. We might try to act like we have it all together, but God knows. God knows. Yes, you might fool a few people, but you'll never fool God. We need the touch of the Lord God Almighty to cleanse us, to purge us from our sins. A lot of times we can't even see what our sins are. It's just absolutely, we're blinded to it. And in the midst of all of that, you may be condemning someone else for their sin. But Jesus said, hey, take the mote or the beam out of your own eye before you start pointing at someone else, because the very thing you're accusing them of, you're doing yourself. Jesus, help us to see. How do we see the Lord? Yes. If we see the Lord high and lifted up in our lives and we keep him in that position, when you pull him down to the earth realm, nothing will happen. He is high and lifted up. And he watches from the heavens. Hallelujah. And he comes to your aid whenever you cry out to the Lord. And when you know you're unclean, when you're undone, when you are in sin, we cry out to the Lord to purge us, to cleanse us. And he does with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We have hope. Our world needs hope. Our world is a mess. He sees the mess of the world. But Jesus Christ came to give himself for the sins of the world. And all we have to do is come to the Lord. He's not going to reject us. And so as people who have been born again by the power of God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, we have a divine nature on the inside of us. Sometimes the old nature rises up though. Did you notice that? Yeah, did he raise up this week? That old man? Yeah, he does. And so we got to put him, crucify him. You can't counsel him. You can't talk him into nothing. You got to kill him. You got to tell that flesh, I'm crucifying you. Because this body will talk to you. Is that right? It will talk to you. And unless you're under the Spirit of the living God, you'll not win that battle. And you see that in the world today. They're looking for answers. But they're looking for answers in all the wrong places because they refuse to bow their knee to the Lord God Almighty and admit that He is the sovereign God of the universe and that we need Him. We need God in America. We need God in the nations of this world. It is the only hope that we have. And the hope is in the Word. And God has placed that on the inside of you so that you will be His mouthpiece in the earth today. So that you will share the good news. That Jesus saves. And you don't have to live like that anymore. Thank you, Lord. You see, He's got a remedy. He has never left us without a remedy. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. It doesn't matter what the doctor's saying right now. It doesn't matter if you have a diagnosis and your mental health right now is being challenged. None of that matters to God except for He has the remedy. So don't let someone tell you there's no hope for you. Don't let the enemy sit on your shoulder and say there's no hope for you. You see, God has never, ever left us without a remedy. And every promise in His Word applies to every single person. It doesn't matter where you came from, what ethnic group you belong to, what education you've had, if you are rich, if you are poor. None of that matters, church. God is not partial. His promises apply to everybody. And all this confusion we have going on in America right now is because they don't know God. They don't know God. So pray for them when you hear some of the crazy, twisted ideas. It's like, where do they come from? You know, they come from the pits of hell, but obviously there is no foundation in the Word of God because the Word of God would settle this mess very quickly. Is that right? You believe that? I believe it. I'm going to walk in it. River of Life family's going to walk in it. We're not getting pulled into this mess. No, because you get pulled into confusion. And then you open the door in your life for confusion to come into your family. We got to keep it straight, especially within our houses. Because our youth, and as an adult, you are bombarded with the lies of the devil. And he is a deceiver. You know, all he can do is lie. Jesus, help us. We're going to go on. Hallelujah. To Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord say, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. So the Lord prepares us for our mission. He cleanses us, gets us ready to go, changes our hearts so we'll say, yes, Lord. I'm sure some of you have said, no, Lord. And then before you know it, another year goes by and you're saying, yes, Lord. And we are, for those of you who are new to River of Life, those are our two words, yes, Lord. Whatever He's asking us to do, we say, yes, Lord. So God in His holiness plans for His people to be holy. The Lord proclaims His holiness to Moses. And let's read these two verses. I forgot to delete that out. Leviticus 19:1-2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And Leviticus 11:44-45 says, as well as many other places, God proclaims, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. And this may come as a surprise to some of you, but this is not a request. He is not requesting it. He's commanding us. This is a commandment from the Lord for his people to be holy. Let's read 1 Peter 1:14 through 16. As obedient children, 1 Peter, okay. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. We're going to read on and find out how we can fulfill this commandment. 1 Peter 1:17 through 19. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you are redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So we know that God judges every work impartially. Once again, he does not judge that work based upon your ethnic group, based upon your education. He doesn't judge it according to that. He judges it without impartiality, according to what his word says and his will is for your life. This is not very complicated. You know, the Lord said a fool doesn't even need to err in the word of God, because we have the Holy Spirit. He is our teacher. He is our guide. He will teach us. And by the way, we need to have reverent fear for the Lord God Almighty. The scripture says not to fear those who can destroy your body, but fear him who can destroy both your body and soul in hell. So often people will say, well, I didn't do that. You know, I didn't try for the promotion. I didn't hand out my witnessing book because I was afraid. I was afraid. That's not going to fly with God. We reverence him with a holy fear. Who was it, Gabe? You said you already got punished by your parents, so you just really didn't want to take the punishment of God. So we're going to do what he asked us to do. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Because our ancestors have handed us down an empty way of life. We thank God for our ancestors. We thank God for life. But without Jesus Christ, our life is empty. Without him, it's empty. With him, it's full. Thank you, Jesus. And he will redeem us with the precious blood of Jesus. He buys us back from the hand of the enemy, by the way. He redeems us. Let's read the next verse, 1 Peter 1:20 to 21. Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. That's where we put our faith. That's where we put our hope, is in God. Let's read on. 1 Peter 1:22 to 23. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Living holy is by faith in Jesus Christ. Living holy is not your works. And so many people get caught up in a holiness standard. But our holiness is because we have faith in the Word of God, and we are purified by obeying the truth. And we may not know all the truth, but you know just as much truth as you need to know. God will make sure you know what you need to know. And often the Lord does not reveal more to you until you have obeyed that truth. It's like people want a prophetic word, and prophetic ministry is wonderful, and I encourage you to get involved in ministering spiritual gifts. CI has trained, I believe now it's over 350,000 people, how to prophesy, because everyone can prophesy. There are different levels of the anointing of prophecy, which you will learn in the class, but everyone is able to edify, exhort, and encourage their brothers and sisters. Or a stranger that you see in the street that needs the word of the Lord, that there is hope. So we're purified when we obey the truth. And living holy is through faith in Jesus Christ, through faith in the finished work of the cross, through faith that Jesus Christ came to this earth as the Son of God, that he was crucified, he died, and he rose again on the third day. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he constantly is praying for each one of us. Thank you, Lord. Worship is a lifestyle. We looked at two scenes of worship. Holy is the Lord. God's commanded us to be holy. So worship becomes our lifestyle. Romans 12:1. Let's read that. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. While we are alive, we have to make some sacrifices. Gabe said that too. Gabe, I promise, did not read my notes. Unless he got online, they came out last night. But he was pretty busy with Maya's party. So I doubt if he was able to read those notes beforehand. But it's the same. We're a living sacrifice. We have sacrifices we will make, because we want to live holy for the Lord. Sacrifices because we're the temple. And what goes on in a temple? Worship. Worship should be going on in our temple. Let's read 2 Corinthians 6:16 through 18. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We have no business making any agreement with idols. And an idol is anything that you set before worshiping God. If you are doing something instead of taking care of what God has asked you to do, it can become an idol. And there are so many examples, but we are going to go on because the Holy Spirit will reveal to you if you have an idol. Amen. I promise. He does that. But God says, I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to walk in you. I'll be your God. I'll be your Father. You're my people. We are the people of the Lord. And our bodies are temples. Now, our bodies are made from the dust of the earth, right? And so, you know, at funerals, it's ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Because we know this body is going to go back to the earth. This body was not made to live forever. We get a new body. Tell somebody, hallelujah. But you know, when Jesus prayed the Lord's Prayer, he said, let your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our body is the temple of the living God. Our body was made from the dust of the earth. When we die, it's going to return to the earth. So while we are in this body, this earthly body, get this revelation. Cry out to the Lord, let your kingdom come in this earth. Let your kingdom come in this earth. Let your kingdom come in this earth. And let your will be done. While we have the breath of life in our body, we are to manifest the kingdom of the Lord God Almighty on earth as it is in heaven. Our body is the earth. And then you know what the scripture says? The kingdom of God is within you. We're going to read that right now in Luke 17, 20 to 21. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. We are the temples of the living God, and the kingdom of God is resident on the inside of us. We need a revelation for the power of God that is dwelling on the inside of us and the ability of God that is on the inside of us. Remember, he prepares us for our mission. When Moses went before the Lord, he had so much doubt because he couldn't speak. But the Lord didn't let him get away with that, did he? No, he made provision for someone to speak for Moses.
Yes.
Hallelujah. God will not let you get out of your assignment. He is going to hound you. He will just bring it around and bring it around and remind you of what he has called you to do. Now, you don't jump right into that assignment. There is a learning curve, hallelujah. Much of it is on the job training, hallelujah. Someone was sharing with me the other day an experience, and I said, oh yeah, that's the school of the Holy Spirit. That's the on the job training that God does to you. And then later on, he'll teach you what happened. Has anyone experienced that? It's an adventure to walk with the Lord. If you will allow God, who is on the inside of you, to walk in you.
Yes.
He walks in you. When we walk, we represent the Lord God Almighty, and the kingdom of God should be manifested all around us.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And remember, the angels of the Lord are with us.
Yes.
The host of angels, the army of the heavens are with us. And there's more with us. We might not look like a big group, but there's more with us than what you see.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor there's more with us than what you see. So the New Testament way to holiness, and we're wrapping this up, is in 1 Corinthians 1, 28 to 31. Let's read it together. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that in our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. So Jesus Christ is our wisdom from God. He became for us. Jesus Christ became for us wisdom from God. No wonder James said, if you lack any wisdom, just ask for it. And it will be lavished upon you. Because God doesn't spare anything. Jesus Christ sits in the heavenlies and he prays and intercedes for you. And when you ask for wisdom, he sends it on down. We should be looking for it. Jesus Christ is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Thank you, Lord. We have nothing to boast about except the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are here on this earth to make Jesus famous. God is on the throne. As I was studying this, the Lord reminded me there are three places the Lord is enthroned. God is on his throne. He is high and lifted up. He is enthroned in our praises, the scripture says. When we praise the Lord, he takes a seat on his throne and listens. When you complain, the devil will give you more to complain about. But when you praise the Lord, when you have a thankful heart, you know, people want to be around people who are thankful, grateful. No one likes to be around complainers. Jesus, help us not to complain. I won't complain. I'm blessed. But God is enthroned in the heavens. God is enthroned on our praise. When we come together and we praise the Lord, God sets up his throne right in the midst of us. And we sense his presence. The Lord is here. He's high and lifted up. And the other place the Lord is enthroned is in our hearts. God is enthroned in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. So worship is a lifestyle. We are set apart from the world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We are just foreigners passing through. We have a better hope. If all we had was this world, we'd be miserable. This is a miserable place. But we have a greater hope. And we're set apart from the world. And we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Because we're the temple of the Lord. And the Lord commanded us to be holy. And we know what the Lord requires for us. And I'm just going to remind you this morning that at the beginning of 2021, the Lord spoke to us, Micah 6:8, and it says, read it with me, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. And we can add to that. And be holy. And we accomplish all of these things by knowing God. By having an intimate relationship with him. By spending time with him. Not having a casual relationship where we just push him off to the side. No one likes a casual relationship. When you're in love, you do not want a casual relationship. You want some attention, right? Hey, look at me. Let's talk about this. I need some of you right now. Hallelujah. And the Lord is jealous for us, the scripture says. He wants that time. He wants that time. So I encourage you this summer, let's stay focused on what God has called us to do. Let's live our lives in a lifestyle of worship to the Lord. Let's take time to be with God. If we all take time to be with God and we come into this place will explode because where the presence of the Lord is, there is growth. Yes. And when we get with God, he begins to share with us what we need to throw off and what we need to get rid of. Because you know what? Our soul is sticky. And lots of things stick to our souls. And we've got to learn how to peel them off and get rid of them. Those areas of our life, they're sticky. And the enemy will come right back and try to stick you. He'll use somebody close to you to get you all riled up. Have you ever experienced that? Jesus, help us. Help us. Give us the wisdom to know what is going on. We're to do justly. God's people do justly. We love mercy. And we're to walk humbly with our God. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the word of the Lord this morning. Lord, we just thank you, Father, for your presence today. Holy, holy, holy is our God. Take this word, Lord, this imperishable seed that's been planted in our hearts this morning, and continue to water it, continue to grow us, continue, oh God, to transform us and change us. And forgive us, Lord, of our sins that we have committed, knowing and unknowingly. And Lord, we thank you for the cleansing blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow. In Jesus' mighty name. And the church said, amen, amen. Amen.